There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Fends and dummy half. It's with the halfback, Williams. Williams goes himself, comes out the other side, gets it to Croker, bounces away from a would-be from De Goyes, puts a kick out wide, looking for Shander Earl, and Earl is in again. Oh, stop it, it's starting to hurt.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook podcast, head of NRL Supercoach Round 2, proudly brought to you, I should say, by Pat and George from Mortgage Choice SCW. Strong start to this week's podcast there. Guys, we are in the midst of an NRL Supercoach cheapie crisis. At least we were until about an hour and a half ago when team list dropped for Round 2. Our prayers have been answered. Round 1 team lists were a horror show, but we've been given some decent cheapies. Finally, we'll get to those shortly, though. Here to talk through us with it is Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs chairman Adam Drusey. Ads, welcome, mate.
Thank you, Timmy. Good to be here. Down 6-0 early with your intro there, but we'll fight back.
Ads, I've had far worse starts to this podcast and I'll have far worse in the future, mate, so it's all good. Also with us for the first time in 2024 is 2021's sixth-placed overall NRL Supercoach finisher, Clementine Cassidy. Clem, good to have you back, finally.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to be here. So I finally did the big move down to Sydney. Absolutely loving it here. Loving exploring the Northern Beaches. I'm a Northern Beaches girl through and through. Met some awesome people and wish I did the move ages ago. But first time on the potty.
Exciting. Many Wires fans floating around the beaches?
Not really, but we can always turn some people, I'm sure.
Yeah. Good to have you back on for the first time this year. Also with us, as always, Maddie the Water Boy. Maddie, you'd be happy, man. No, you know what? You'd be a mixed man. You've got your boy Talis Duncan in,
yep,
but Joe Harrow's out. So
yeah,
not a good trade-off.
That's definitely more bad than good. I'm stoked that Talis Duncan's starting, but like, just it's the not knowing, you know? Like, if they just told me he's out for the season, then I could cry for an hour, but it's just the not knowing. Like, now I'm going to be in purgatory for the next few days until a surgeon comes. Yeah. Nah, in all seriousness, it sucks. It sucks.
Just give us the information. Don't give the poor bugger this uncertainty. Guys, heaps to get through on tonight's podcast. Not as long as last week, which could have been a record break for SC Playbook. It was round one, so it was the big one, let's be fair. But it was about an hour 40, so it won't be that long. But before we do get into it, the SC Playbook subscription package is available, as always, getting access to numerous additional articles, premium articles as such, on the website each and every round of the NRL season. It gives you access to our WhatsApp group, our community all in one place, going back and forth, giving team advice, our contributors thread. We can throw all our last-minute trades, skipper, sit v start plans, all that good stuff, late mail thread, punting thread. It's got it all. Gives you also access to our unlimited group, Unlimited League this year, it's called, major prize. The code for that one is 743596. The prize, if you knock off all the contributors, is $1,000. $500 if you're a non-subscriber that wins it, $1,000 if it is a subscriber that wins it. Either way, we'll be giving out $1,000 to people in that group. On today's show, the talking points from Team List Tuesday, and there's a lot to get through in that one. We're also going to be having a bit of a conversation on the weaker-looking cheapie scene to start the season and what that means to our team management, obviously the cheapies that have cropped up on the team list this week. Bit of front-row chaos, absolute debacle. Is Terrell May a must-have or do we wait a week? Our hot topics is Brendan Piakoura, a sell. We'll be looking at our sit v starts for round two, our skippers, questions, and all the rest of that. Before we get into it, Ads, your team this week, how'd you start the season, mate?
Diabolically.
Oh, you and everyone else. Like, that's all right.
I shouldn't be here. I'm a fraud to be here as an expert. The rankings so low, I can't even count that high.
Yeah, can't physically get the words maths out of the mouth.
No, I think it was like 65,000th or something. The number's so big, I just ran.
It's funny, mate.
It's week one, mate. I looked at the top team and it made me feel a bit better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll catch that team in.
The not so mighty Kuma Stallions, we were the same. It was about 830, so a poor score. But for the large part, and particularly comparing to other Supercoach teams out there that I've seen having a lot of issues, I'm pretty happy with the cheapies I've got. The ones I've paid up for, aside from, of course, Farmacilli, which I think was that fourth front row forward spot. I don't think there's going to be anyone out there happy right now. I'm very happy with my team, despite the poor score. My front row forward slot needs a lot of work, but Terrell May was already in the plans after the Vegas games last weekend. Clem, any better?
No, my team has more issues in vogue. My team scored a 7.99. So true to their name, Friday Beers, they performed like they've been on the beers all weekend, so not just Friday. I think I'm in around about 80,000th place. But you know what? It's all onwards and upwards from here.
It is. Can't get any further. And also, Clem, we were having a drink Sunday afternoon. You went one of the great early crows saying, at least I beat someone. I came out and had a good final game to the round. Thank you to the Hammer for his 79 points in one of the worst games of his career. What do you got to say for yourself?
I'm so sorry. You definitely bit me, but everyone bit me. My little baby brother, he made his first Supercoach team ever last Sunday, and he scored over 1,000.
Jeez.
So I've had the crow from him, like, since then.
He'll be on the show next week. Now, it is through gritted teeth that I throw to Maddie the water boy. Maddie, how did you go?
Look, for the first time ever, Timmy actually didn't write the show notes for this. This is actually, I came in and demanded that I now run this podcast. No, I got 904, which was the best here, but there's still, 32,000 people ahead of me, which was, yeah. I actually initially saw that and thought, oh, damn, that sucks. But then a few texts and listen around the traps to see what people got. It actually wasn't too bad. And just like Hammer for you, Timmy, I had Val Holmes and he saved me from a pretty disastrous week, which was nice. Yeah.
And did you have four reserves this week, man?
I did.
Because I know you don't always have four reserves.
I know, but it's round one, so it's the most likely that I'm going to have four reserves.
I'm impressed.
The arrogance of the bloke and his hot start by comparative standards, he's going to start dropping a sub each week just because he thinks he can.
Yeah, damn right.
Let's get to it early. Don't go to panic stations. We have the same conversation each and every year, Clem, about this. Sort any issues out in your team, but you picked players for a reason. If they started slow and scored poorly, Nathan Cleary, Nicho Hynes, Caelan Ponga to a less degree, there are so many examples of it. I think a great example is Scott Drinkwater, who looked superb for the Cowboys. The Cowboys looked terrific. He scored like 47 or something. They scored like 7 or 8 tries, just managed to not be in any of them. And I see people saying, do I bite the bullet and do I go Drinky to Turbo or Latrell? I'm like, the Cowboys couldn't have looked any better and people are wanting to sell Drinkwater. I think, Clem, the time that you move people on this early on is, let's say you picked a player like Jason Taumalolo and he played 20 minutes. Players didn't get the minutes that you hoped they would have. Maybe they came out and there was a niggling injury that you didn't account for, things like that. But if it's just a poor score and nothing went amiss, be calm.
That's exactly right. I had a 26-point Nicho Hynes captaincy, so I'm not going to panic about that. So I've lived through the 22-point Reece Walsh captaincy. I'm an old hand at this. So for me, I feel like if you're trading out your premium players, like they've got pedigree, and there's a reason that you got them in, and you got them in because these guys can score the big points. So people trading out Nicho Hynes, people trading out Nathan Cleary, you've got, before price changes, you've got another watch, right? Like no one's price is going to change after this weekend. So you give them another go. Like people going Scotty D to Tommy T, like I don't understand that either. You're going very sideways. Just stick with your premium players for a little bit longer, the guys that you've gotten for a reason. I mean, Nicho Hynes, top scorer last year in Supercoach.
Two in a row.
That's it, yeah. So like, watch him carve it up against the Dogs on Friday.
Jeez, it's good to be here. Well, good start, Clem.
Positive start of the 12 podcast.
12-0 early now. Used to that, by the way.
Ads, you're a veteran Supercoach. Any words of advice for those people ready to hit the panic button?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Clem. Don't. The only thing I would say there is someone like Turbo not picking Turbo, it might be that you thought Turbo, you didn't know how he'd come back and you watched him in round one, think, I must have him. So I could kind of understand making a change if you just can't bear the idea of going without a Turbo. You don't have to do it this week, though, to Clem's point. So I certainly wouldn't be trading out a Drinkwater as an example because you're panicking. Like, that's crazy. If you deliberately wanted Drinky, stick with him. So, but I wouldn't want to be playing the season without Turbo.
It's funny. I put up about a 4,500 word teams analysis from the teams that dropped today. And I had written in it basically around everything we just said. And one of them was Pappenhausen, and he scored about 30 points or something. He might not even mean that. And I said, don't hit the panic button on him. You bought him for a reason. He played against Penrith. It was a dour affair. Just relax. Before publishing, I actually went back and said, although if you can get to Tom Trbojevic, I would probably do it because Tommy looks so good.
Yeah, he just looks a must. But Drinkwater could end up just as good.
Yeah.
Like he did look good the other day.
I tell you the other thing that came out of, I mean, there's so many reasons, and we'll get to them during the show on why not to panic. There were so many skewed minutes across round one. I look at the Roosters pack, I look at the Bulldogs pack, I look at the Dolphins pack, because of injuries that happened in those games and players that people are jumping on because they played inflated minutes. So it's just, we want to see how all of those play out early on and just reassess. And the other thing that helps a little bit, there's about four or five genuine cheapy options who were named today. We'll get to those in the team list. But because they didn't play round one, they're also going to be about, they won't have their first price changes until round four. So any one of them that we're keen on, it just gives us a little bit more breathing room to potentially go to them.
Yeah, especially if you've got someone like, is it Tua Picky, Warriors fullback? Someone like him, it might be that by round four you want to trade him out, and maybe then the perfect option is you bring in a Galvin or whoever it might be. I'm assuming you can do that with Jules. So yeah, I agree that buy early on does make it nice to be able to pick up the right cash cows.
Handy.
Round three and four, yeah.
Thank you, Benji Marshall. Let's get into our first topic of the show. And as I said, it was going to be a major topic to open up on our massive cheapie concerns. We still have them. A lot of the cheapies didn't do great on the weekend. When I said that I was very happy with how my cheapies performed, and this is a reason why not to panic, I was happy with my round one squad for the most part, give or take. The halfback struggled, but I have faith in them. Front row forward, shit show, have a plan to fix that up. But my cheapies got their minutes. The forwards who I had there, if it was any of them, got like Danny Levi played half-decent minutes. I know he was rescued by a try, but there wasn't much else out there. Possibly Lussick. My centre wings looked pretty good. They got through work rates. Jesse Arthur's a bit more than a cheapie. Dodged a few guys, so I was happy with them. But it does look like cash generation is going to be tough to start the season. The four or so cheapies that have been named might be an end to some decent money for us over the next month or 2 months, but far from sure things. In terms of changing approach, it's going to change the game pretty dramatically, I think, this season, unless they do emerge. I think one way that I will be changing my side probably a little bit, Ads, is guys like Nicho Hynes, Kalyn Ponga, Nathan Cleary, who, even at the price, in recent years, if they start off and they go 40-40 and they have a massive break even, they're about to plummet cash in round three. You go, you know what? They've got the pedigree. I'm going to hold on to them. They'll come good. The way to make cash this year could be selling one of those guys if they back up with poor scores again this weekend. They drop 150 to 200K. In the meantime, you find someone with that negative break even who's set to make 150, 200K. Potentially, you'll sacrifice some points in the process, but that could be the in to generating cash if these cheapies don't come on board like we're hoping they will.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but it could well be that's how desperate it gets. I guess it depends.
It's different, but it's a tough start to the year.
Well, the other thing is, if you go the other way, every other team's going to have the same cheapies, so you won't be able to differentiate yourself. So maybe if you want to differentiate yourself and actually kind of be higher on the ladder, maybe you need to do something like that. But it's, I don't know, it would be a pretty scary proposition if you were running without a Nicho against the Tigers. I'm not going to say the Bulldogs. But you wouldn't want to be missing one of those guns against.
And I fully agree. But at the same time, desperate times could be desperate measures. Mm. Not that we're at that point yet. And with the cheapies named, hopefully they can do a job for us. We get another week to have a look at a lot of players. You know, there's every chance that Cleary, Hynes, Ponga will go 100-plus this week. No panic stations. But I think there could be a really – it's going to take more trades if you go down that route, but it could generate cash and it could do it quick. Clem, tough start to the year in that regard. How do you see it?
So it's definitely changed the way I probably play Supercoach. So my start's like been – not great. So normally I wouldn't make any trades until about round three. This time I feel like there are cheapies out there that can generate cash for you. So I feel like if you want to make some trades early on, I'm fully on the bandwagon now of setting my team with the cheapies that are out there and that look like they're going to generate cash. So people like Smithies, even Tua Picky, if you don't have him. I feel like there are cheapies out there. There's some more named today. So I feel like now's a good time to sort of set your team with those guys. I do have here though too, like I'm more than happy to use a boost next round after watching Nico and Clary again. If Nico doesn't go big this round, then by all means it's kind of goes towards what you were saying. I would drop him and get in, do a boost and get in three like guys who look really good with that. So absolutely.
Yep. So sort of to put into practice a little bit, I'm not just sort of talking fluff. About happy with my cheapie scene. I say this each and every year. I'm always happy to pay up a bit extra for my cheapies if they've got job security, more scoring potential, etc. So Jesse Arthur's 376k, scored 48, got a really weird down day from 60 to 48 a week after that game, which hurt, but whatever. Jack Bostock looks saved by a late try, 38 points, 314k, but looks pretty well set into the team, the Dolphins at the moment. Tane Torpicky, 49 points for the Warriors. You know, when Charles Nicol-Cookstad comes back, he'll be playing fullback for the Warriors, but could get three, four, hopefully even five games in there. Hopefully he can generate a bit of cash for us. So by and large, pretty happy with how they've panned out early on. Again, disregarding that front row forward spot. Question from, you sort of touched on boost there, Clem, but there's a question from Mitch Hogan asking, saying that he's rookie to the game. Can you explain the difference between a trade and a trade boost and when is the best to use it? So let's have a brief little chat about boosting and for the first timers out there and our strategies around it. Firstly, the difference between a trade and a trade boost. There are five rounds in the season of your choice, you can activate a third trade for that round. It counts in your 46 trades for the season. So it's not like you're getting extra trades, but five times you can use an extra one. On your team page, you can activate that if you want to use three trades. It's a really valuable tool. It came in for the first time, was it last year? Or was it the year? But it might have been 2 years ago
before,
now.
It was the year before.
So the jury's still out a little bit on the best way to use them, and I don't think anyone's out there saying they've got the exact method to it. I tried to use mine a little bit later. I've seen a few people, a good Supercoach head, saying that they've used them early in the season. They go hard. They get their team sorted. Ads, I'll start with you, mate. What's your take on boosts and how are you looking to implement them this season? Are you looking at potentially an early one?
Yeah, I've typically saved them for the bye period. So, you get to Origin and you're struggling to field a team. Now, it's obviously different now. It just takes the top 13 players. So that's less of a requirement, but I probably will still save them for later on during the year. I just think there's not a crisis this week where I'm thinking I must do X or Y. So I think unless you're really panicking, I wouldn't be burning one early. I'd be saving because there will be some other week during the year where you lose three guns in one week and it's a hard luck story. But then I'd be using a boost. So we just know those things come up at some point. So between that and buys, I think I'm going to save it for a bit later on.
Yeah.
Save them. Yeah.
Clem, I think you mentioned you're open to using one early. I'm the same as you. I don't know if I've traded in round two the last 2 years from memory because I was really happy with my 25-man squad this year. A few little spot fires to put out, so I will be trading this week. And I'm also very open to using even one trade boost early on. I think round three is a great time to do it. I think I boosted last year in round three because we get those first price changes. You know, we have a two-week sample size of are our players duds and underwhelming for a reason, or was it a one-off in round one? How do you see it?
So I've very much always been one to hold my boosts and use them around the buys too. But yeah, this time around, I just feel like it's so viable to use one early on, and definitely I would use one next week. Just if I had to free up some cash to get some of the guys that are actually firing before price changes. But yeah, definitely you can use them strategically. Like I think you can use them to suit your team. Like my team is like I said, more issues in vogue. Like I really need to start thinking about doing some trades to get in the right guys. And I feel like a boost, use it strategically. Don't just use it because it's there and you want to like rage trade a whole heap of players. players. But, you know, if you're doing something like downgrading a Nico if he doesn't fire again and then you can get three really good players, like, I feel like it's so viable to use it early on to really set your team for the rest of the season.
I think a really simple way of looking at the boost, you ask yourself the question when you're doing your trades for the week, do I want to make a third trade this week or do I need to? Because there are weeks where you need to. And you know when that happens because you're going, what I would give if I could use one more trade, whether it's to generate a bit more cash or to get an extra gun in with a dream matchup, you're just going, I wish I had a boost to use. If you're sitting there going, oh, I could use one, should I, shouldn't I? You probably don't need to be honest. The way I do it, I love a round three boost. I love a boost after the origin period. So we've used a lot of trades during that period to get as many on the field or to try and get that 13 on the field on those three major buy rounds. A boost after that third origin buy weekend just to get your team in order for the run home. They're two that I try and sort of set in stone as best as possible. And again, it changes every year. Other than that, whatever suits your team. There'll be people sitting there who have just have a really good 25 to start the year. They've just done it well going, I don't need a boost. I might not need two trades round two or three sort of thing. Great position to be in, that'd be. Let's get on to our front row plans. And this will cover off a lot of the hot topics as well because it's just an absolute disaster of a position. I was so close to going Terrell May for round one and then just with all the uncertainty around the Roosters bench and minutes, he got named on the bench. Rhea Hargreaves just come back and went, nope, let's just see how this plays out. Adds what I'd give to have started with Terrell May and just have one of those spots locked in.
I know. I think the only good bit was last week we knew we probably wanted to bring him in this week so we could set the rest of our side around planning for that. So I brought in Palacio off your Sterling advice.
And at the time of recording, I didn't know he was getting
benched. You were a genius at that point, I know. Yeah. But I did also leave myself enough cash so I could make the trade without needing to make another trade. So that will be my first trade. I've already made it. I feel better looking at my screen seeing Terrell May. I don't think he's a must, by the way. But if you've got a Palacio or a Lolo and you're worried about it, then he's a great option. But if you've got, I don't know, if for some reason you brought in, say, Flegler or an AFB or something like that, Terrell May is not going to make or break your season. But
I don't think I have ever, in fact, I definitely haven't, picked a bloke in my team at any stage of the season, but particularly round one, knowing that he's going to leave my team in round two. So, look, it played out even worse than we anticipated, but I saw Terrell May last week and I said, I want him in my team, obviously with this unique split round, and I went, who's around about the price that I can make the move to the following week? And it was Palacio, to start. It got to game day. He got shifted to the bench on a 4-4 bench, and I went, God, I'm like, get me 30 points. I think he got us 22. It couldn't have gone any worse, but catcher. Talk to us about Terrell May and why you say he's not a must. I can see the argument for sure. Jarrell Hargreaves coming back into the team is the big concern there. The other issue there is Satili Tupanua and Sua Wong, who went off injured in Vegas, didn't finish the game. He came on Terrell May at about the 26th minute and he played, I think, 54 minutes straight. You know, I'm backing his ability and I think he'll get the minutes. Why do you think maybe not a must? Because I know he's the most trading player for obvious reason. What do you reckon?
Well, I don't think he's a must just because of, A, the price. I mean, he's not like he's 200,000 and he's about to skyrocket. He's 430,000. Yeah. So he's not...
No price change.
You're not going to make a fortune with him. The other thing was Trent Robinson, his comments after the game, it seemed pretty clear that it wasn't the plan to play him the whole time. Yeah. And he said something like, he was just playing so well, I had to keep him out there. So it was almost like he played so well, he did keep him out there for extra minutes. And there's just uncertainty about how many other guys come in back into that pack. Like you say, Jared comes in. Now, Spencer Lenu being suspended probably means there's one less top quality front rower to take away minutes. But look, in saying that, I am bringing him in. I think I feel good about him being in there. I think he can go bigger than he did last week with attacking stats because he just looks so good at the eye. But it's more if you've got Flegler, you don't need to downgrade Flegler to May.
Correct.
Because he's going to kill your season. Yeah, by the way, I can't remember having two brothers in a Supercoach side before. So now I've got Terrell and Taylor. And I'm just trying to think, have I ever had Supercoach side? Yeah. Can't remember having two brothers in my Supercoach side.
You never ran the Luke Burgess, George Burgess combination?
I might have had Sam Burgess with one of the other two. I can't remember. But I've got to say, Taylor looked pretty good as well. I'm very happy to have him in the centres.
Oh, my goodness. Taylor May, 67, basically in base. He had one line break, busted like 10 tackles or something stupid. another example of why I'm saying, all right, didn't score the best, but Tuivasa Sheck and Taylan May,
yeah,
both, I think 67 and 48 or something, they both had a ton of runs, a ton of tackle busts, just looked so likely, so, so happy with them. The scores will come there. Claremont, Terrell May, 430K, 21 tackles, 3 offloads, 17 runs, some tackle busts, just looked the goods. And I like what you said there, Ads. Basically, on any other year where you were somewhat happy with your front rowers, or let's say you started with Tommy Flegler and, God, I don't know, whoever else it might have been who went all right in the front row, you can wait a week and watch on Terrell May and see that his minutes. But if you have Fires put out, he looks the best of a somewhat bad bunch. But Terrell May, there's keeper potentially in there. Clem, is he coming into your side this week?
Oh, he's absolutely coming into my side this week. My front row is, like, just an absolute miss, eh? I also had Palacia there. I do have Cotter. So Cotter was my one shining light, and he didn't really fire.
It's about 48, 52.
I think he got about 48, yep. 46, actually.
I suspect with Cotter, Cowboys forward rotation, real weird one because of what happened to Taumalolo, but because it was a blowout win, I think they were happy early in the season not to kill Cotter with 60, 65 minutes. I reckon in a tighter game, he plays bigger minutes than that.
Yeah, well, that's nice to know. but yeah, definitely bringing in Terrell May. So for me, one of my problems last year was I just sat and watched and waited on guys for like way too long. And then by the time I brought them in, they'd already made a bunch of cash. And I mean, then they just for some reason stopped scoring the second I brought them in. Bull is a perfect example of that.
So
it was all a dream, and then I didn't have him in my team. But yeah,
we've all done it. I did Latrell 2 years ago.
So for me, yeah, I definitely need to fix my front row. And for me, he's the guy that's going to come in, and I have more confidence having him in my front row. I'm just looking at it now. I have Glisson on my bench still. Like
not named again.
Yeah. I have some issues there. But yeah. That makes me feel much more confident looking at that with him with Cotter. I do have massive FOMO from the guys that started with AFB. Like, oh my God, watching him on Friday night, I was just like, why did I not?
I spent the whole preseason saying, like, he's not going to match his try scoring of last year, and he scored about 20 minutes of the game, which went, oh, he's so good.
And how was that run? Oh, he was just incredible, wasn't
he? He could have scored a second try. He's in my draft side, so I was happy with that at least.
Oh, that night I watched that game with Spy at Spy headquarters, and I got a Spy masterclass in combinations. And it's all I can talk about since then.
Did he take you down like some 300-metre lift via a rock on the side of a hill into the Spy Cave?
I got like an absolute play-by-play on how every combination on the field works. It was fantastic.
Yeah. First one off for this season for the Spy, actually. He's been big this year. My front row, Taumalolo, 16 points, played 20 minutes, and he thought, okay, went off early, disappointing. Second stint, hopefully comes back and goes all right. He didn't come back on. Ads, since it's happened, I've asked a lot of questions. It sounds like there's some ongoing knee injuries or something going on there. You know, there are other suggestions that they had the big lead by the time he would have come on for his second stint. So, you know, with any niggly injuries he might have, they just didn't bother. Are you giving him a week to see if he comes out and plays normal minutes and get a proper gauge of him, or are you just cutting the cord?
I think at the moment I'm keeping him just because I don't know who I'd trade him to.
Yeah.
Like I'm trading out Palacir first just because I'm thinking maybe Lolo plays more minutes this week, but I don't feel good about having him sitting there. But I don't have enough cash to – at least I don't think I do. I'll have to have a look. But I don't think I've got enough cash to bring to someone else that I feel good about having next to May. So at the moment he gets a week's reprieve and then next week work out A, what to do, and B, who the best option to bring in is.
So number one most sold, Spencer Lenu, gone for 8 weeks. Good, obviously, for Terrell May. Certainly not going to hurt him. Number three most sold, Jason Taumalolo. Look, I can't bite back on it. I don't know if I'll be holding or selling at this point. Number four, Keenan Palacia, for obvious reasons. The Titans are on the bye this week. We'll get to skippers later. I have a very tricky little ploy there that could see Palacia last a week. Number 10, Jai Arrow. This was done before team lists and news of Jai Arrow getting injured, which came out not long before team lists. Rotator cuff injury could be the season. Sounds like minimum maybe 5-6 weeks. So Arrow's obviously got to go. We'll get to a few of the trading targets there shortly. I think Farmer Silly, name to start again at the Doggies. Just got to hope he gets a few more minutes, but looks like he could just be an absolute plodder in that spot for a while, but hopefully the minutes come there. Sammy Hughes, not the best ads, but you know what? I think you sort of mentioned last week he'd probably ease into it. Gus Gould on Twitter did the same. He said, you know, he's only played a handful of minutes in the NRL. He'll build into game time. I'm pretty happy with Sammy Hughes for his, I think it was something like 32 base in about 30 minutes. Definition of a slow burn, but I think he'll make his cash over the 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I think so. Let's hope he gets more minutes from a Supercoach point of view. Mm. It was a bit of a tough game to come into as well. Like he came into that game and it wasn't an easy spot for a front row to come into the game. It wasn't like we were kind of rolling over the Parramatta Pack or anything. Like they were tough carries and all that sort of stuff. So definitely worth holding him for, you know, put it this way, I think everyone will have bigger issues than Sam Hughes in their side this week.
Yeah. Getting into the key talking points from Team List Tuesday, we'll touch on the main ones here, and there's a few to get through because there were so many. Guru and I on Beers and Breakevens in the morning, we do the bigger deep dive into Team List Tuesday and all the major stuff to come out of that. At the Broncos, still no Xavier Willison, Marty Tapau in the side as well. So, look, it wouldn't shock to see Willison come into the game day team. For the moment, largely irrelevant. Wait to see him get a run. It won't be far away and see the sort of minutes he gets. Brendan Piakura has been named despite the head knock in Vegas. Looks like he's good to go for that game. We'll talk about him now. Clem, Piakura is the second most traded out player at $426,000. I cannot believe it.
I cannot understand it. I don't understand why he's the most traded out. Like, he's still the same player that you chose because he's in such a good team and because, you know, he's locked down that start. He's a great player to have at like a really good price. So yes, he got a four, but that was because of an HIA. Like, he hit knock. Like, yep. It's not it because happens. He went out and performed like at a four.
If you got 4 points in 80 minutes, sure, yeah, there'd be concerns.
So
it'd be Ronaldo and Mulatalo type vibes.
He'd be giving Nico Hines a run for his money last night. But yeah, I honestly don't get this trade. I think if you can hold him, like I said, you bought him in for a reason. Like, this is one of those players, this is a full-on rage trade, in my opinion, because he scored a four. But give the bloke a chance this week. He's not going to be price-changing this week. Still in the same team. I reckon he comes out and kills it this week.
Locked into an 80-minute role. You covered it all very well there. Locked into an 80-minute role for one of the best teams in the competition. He's a try scorer. I just mentioned that money, cash generation is going to be an issue this year. I can easily see him being over 600K in 6-7 weeks' time. The other thing to note, price changes occur, as we keep saying, after three games. At the start of the season, a player's first game, that drops out. Also, the break-even is calculated on a three-round average. The first game drops out of that three-round average after one price change. So it's not a major concern. So it's not ideal, but that four will drop out of his score after one price change. So, look, he's a guy I can see making 150, 200K.
He's also running at a south edge of basically never played together this week. They've got Gagai, you've got Tass, who played on the left all last year. You've got Talis Duncan coming in for his first starting game, and then Lachie Ilias. So
it's perfect.
Yeah.
Geez, don't South fans turn quickly?
Yeah. Tough characters. We were talking about them winning the comp 2 weeks ago.
Glad you don't support the Dogs.
Yeah. So, look, I can't leave people trading him out, but, look, do as you please. I hope people do, but we'll see how we go. Jai Arrow, you mentioned there, Maddie. Jai Arrow gone, Talis Duncan, 314K, starts on the edge. The other good thing here is that Jacob Host is out, who can play on the edge. Shaq Mitchell is in. It's a four middle forward bench at the Bunnies. For any player, particularly a rookie, you hate a four forward bench, but a four middle forward bench, it bodes well for him playing big minutes, Talis Duncan.
Yeah, if I was a punting man, which I am, I'd definitely bet on him to play the 80. Of course, there's a chance that maybe he plays. Maybe Murray might go to the edge for a bit, and someone else can come and plug that middle, and that's how he gets a break. But I would consider that unlikely. It's definitely possible, but I think he's going to get a lot of minutes no matter what.
And God forbid that the Rabbitohs go back to Jacob Host as a starting edge back rower, who's literally dropped out of the team. You don't have a lot of edges that can come in there, do you?
No, not at all. They're pretty light on. Yeah. Pretty light on there. Now, like, obviously with Keon and Arrow and Murray, that's a great back row with Murray in the middle there. But with Arrow out now, you're right. It's tough.
Available at 2RF. Look, the majority of these cheapies, I think or let's just wait a week on them. No need to sort of rush into it. I don't mind Talis Duncan early if it's your way to generate some cash, but like anyone, like I said, Cam Murray could spend 30 minutes on the edge. So let's just try and see the minutes of Talis Duncan. Great footballer, good attacking output. Really, really like him. Wish he was there round one.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Royce Hunt.
Sorry, it's also his first two games are against Brisbane and Roosters as well. So it's a pretty tough start.
Yeah.
It's a pretty tough start for him.
That's right. He'll get through some work, old TD. Royce Hunt benched at the Sharkies. Lots of people went to him last week. Scored about 12 points, 330K. I want to be critical and say, why would you go Royce Hunt? But I've also got Palacia, Taumalolo, Hughes and Farmacilli in my front row. So like, how can you be critical? There were just terrible options last week and I've been lumped with a few. Royce Hunt hasn't panned out. He came on and threw a terrible offload and looked like he got dragged pretty early. Maybe he can see his minutes again, but if you can go Royce Hunt to Terrell May, that looks a great trade. Adds that your doggies, Connor Tracy, comes in on the wing for his first game as a dog in the NRL. Kiraz remains at centre. Don't love this for Kiraz. Don't love it for the doggies in general, mate. I wish Tracy was at centre and Kiraz on the wing. In the pack, Pawasa, pack stays the same. Farmacilli starting, Salmon at lock. Salmon played 80 minutes on the weekend and went to the edge when Fox went off, I believe. So yeah, just the minutes of Hughes. Curran came on and played out the rest of the game. Still a watch on minutes without any injuries to impact that for me.
Yeah, I think any time there's been a injury effect rotation like that where they had to move Salmon. So obviously that wasn't the plan. That just makes you wonder what was going to be the rotation. Yeah. So was Curran going to get 65 minutes? Who knows? Like I genuinely don't know the answer myself. So that it's just – I wouldn't overreact to one week where there's an injury that throws things out like that. So I think that's one trick if you're new to the game. But, yeah, look, you don't have Salmon, right? So you don't have to worry about
– No, I wasn't keen on him at all. 313K, he played 80 minutes. The base was ordinary. It wasn't there and he played – I know he spent close to a half, was it? On the edge, yeah. But
second half on the edge.
Because I don't think he would have played. I tipped him to be 60 minutes probably max if he did stay on the field and there was no injury to Fox.
Well, he played the full first half.
Yeah, which is amazing. But yeah. So I said to you last week, got a lot wrong, got a few things right. Mm. Just don't think the output's going to be there because he's there just to be a ball playing lock and no work rate.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Whereas Josh Curran, do you have Josh Curran?
No.
Yeah, I'm glad I've got Josh Curran. I thought Josh Curran looked good. Tough week for attacking stats, but yep. I think they'll come with him. So I think he's a nice one to have in this. But I don't have Lukey. And when I saw him score that damn try, I was furious.
Yeah, I'm very happy about Lukey. Again with Salmon. So played 80 minutes, 29 points. Base was poor. But again, let's see how many minutes he gets in the forwards where people picked him for, essentially. So give it a week, but yeah, the signs aren't overly promising there. Maxi King only got 42 minutes. 45 points, great work rate, was really surprised. Again, keep saying it, let's just watch it this week. Josh Curran included, because if Curran comes on after 15, 20 minutes and needs to play 60 straight, he'll be a great buy. One I'm willing to wait until next week for, though. Scotty Sorensen returns at the Panthers. Big watch on Liam Henry, who played some half-right minutes last week. Cheapy front row forward option there, 238K, I believe Henry is. Seb Chris returns at centre for the Raiders. Hopewade goes to the wing. Cheapy Nick Kotchick is out. I mean, Kotchick probably only an injury away from coming in, but even with his output, I don't think he really needs tries to make any money. It's not quite the Kotchick of old that could bust tackles and have 20-plus runs at the Tigers. Lachlan Galvin, 18-year-old, rookie star. Benji's picked him at 5'8". Aiden Caesar on the bench. Solomona Fatape, hopefully pronounced that okay. He's been named at centre, as you alluded before the show. Justin Olam is out. Clem, you were speaking to the Spire on the way to the studio after teams dropped. He would have been on cloud 9 with Galvin. Galvin, someone thrown into the cauldron here. Tough baptism of fire in the NRL, but it also says a lot that Benji's picked him. I'm happy to give him a few weeks, see how it plays out, see, watch him win this spot, but could be a wonderful cheapie for us.
Oh, 100%. Yes, Spy's very excited on in the phone call on the way here. Absolutely, I would probably watch for a couple of weeks just to see. Caesar's on the bench, but yeah, definitely how amazing if we've got this like amazing cheapie just come into it. Especially, how good.
I know. Even better if he's a cheapie that can score well and I can get rid of Braden Trindle.
A week ago we said this about Ethan Trindle. Strange.
Yeah, we did say about Ethan Strange.
Like, he's an 18-year-old half on debut. It's not... not easy. Like, look at Katoa last year for the Dolphins. He never really produced Supercoach. Well, I think kid's obviously a very, very good player. And I wish him well. I hope he does well.
Put it this way. If in 2 weeks' time we're sitting here to look at buying him and he's locked into the spot, he's a supreme talent because he's 18. Yeah. He's held his own for 2 weeks in the NRL. So I'm so excited to watch him. I would not be going early on him because he could easily drop back out of that side in no time at all. So let's get a look at him. Ditto with Fatape. I don't know the injury news on Olam, but every chance to slot in there when fresh. So let's just see how he goes as well. The beauty of it is with the Tigers, they won't have any price changes until after round four. So we do get a proper look at these guys, which is wonderful. Tamalolo, name to start. So good to see he wasn't too gassed from that 20 minutes in round one. Still got it, the big fella. Pipe is Paul at the Knights, 345K. There was lots of questions about him before Dylan Lucas was ruled out in saying that. He had the HIA from the weekend. So Pierce Paul came on, looked pretty decent. I think he's always going to look decent because he's tall, he's strong, he's athletic. Starting on the edge, Lucas is out. I was surprised, Ads, that people are so keen on him. I think with the naming of the team, she's going to skyrocket up the most purchased. Tyson Frizzell's on one edge. They love Lucas. He'll come back on the other edge, barring Pierce Paul killing it, which he might.
Yeah.
Could be like a 30-40 minute forward. He played 40 on the weekend because Inari Tuala went off, and I think Lucas went to the edge from memory. So I don't see really what's changed.
No, I think it's a trap. I mean, not knowing what's happening with Dylan Lucas, like, he's probably out for 1 week and he's likely coming back inside. It's just a trap, but yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Right. Tommy Talau, Clem, at 287K. I think he is the cheapie of the week. Named on the wing for Jason Saab. Played 12 or 13 or so games for the Tigers last season at centre. I think he scored one try, scored terribly. Very different environment playing on the right wing at the Manly Seagulls next to a firing Tom Trbojevic. Jason Saab's out for about 6 to 8 weeks with a hammy injury, I think it was. I think he's a great buy.
Oh, I think he's an excellent buy. When I heard that he was coming in, it was joy to my ears because I was one of the people that bought Kotrick. And the reason I got him was obviously I panicked and I was like, who am I going to get to fill the spot? But I think Tommy Talau's an amazing person to bring in for a cheapie. Mm. Like, I feel like he's going to, in that spot, I just think bring him in if you can, or if you need to, if you need to, have a cheapie.
Yeah. No, I like him. Again, like anything, ideally you want to wait a few games and see it play out, see him when he's spot, make sure he doesn't get injured or anything like that. But if you are going to cheapie to free up cash, of the guys we've mentioned sort of recently and even blokes we'll get to shortly who went okay as cheapies in round one, I think he's right up there with the best picks. Probably wouldn't play him necessarily this week against the Roosters, but in some softer games, he becomes a really even good play, I think, in CT Dubs. So, like that one. Also at the Roosters, Ben Trbojevic, named again at the second row forward slot. Josh Schuster returning via New South Wales Cup. Ben Trbojevic, a great cheapie last week. I don't think Schuster's going to come in and take too many minutes off Ben Trbojevic, but I do think it's probably worth waiting a week. I think it was about 60% owned Trbojevic. If you're in the 40% that don't, just on the chance that next week Schuster comes in and starts and Benny Trbojevic is on the bench, becomes a real issue. So if you can wait there, wait. At the Roosters, Sua Wong, Satili Tupanua named despite injuries in Vegas. At the Dolphins, Max Plath named at 13 with Ray Stone out. Got a HIA last weekend. Lemuelu is also out, meaning Ewan Aitken starts on the edge. They've named a four middle forward bench, the Dolphins. Really want to see how the minutes play out at the Dolphins. We'll get to Tommy Flegler in the Hot Topics. At the Dragons, Luciano Leilua returns on the bench. Tom Eisenhuth starts on the edge. Raymond Faitala-Mariner, a really popular mid-ranger, cheapy, sort of in between there, probably more of a mid-ranger, goes to the bench. Viliami Fifita, very popular cheapy, out of the 17. I just think Eisenhuth is an avoid. I think Fatala Marinu is an avoid. I think, because Blake Laurie's also back in the Dragons outfit, let's see these minutes, because I think Liciano Leilua could even start this weekend. That's going to be an issue for Eisenhuth, Fatala Marinu. Let's see it play out again this weekend. Guys, managing debt can feel like going toe-to-toe in a no-step challenge with David Fifita at times. It's nasty, nasty stuff. It can be stressful, but it doesn't have to be. There's ways to manage it effectively to take a huge weight off your shoulders. To do so, you can reach out to Paddy and George from Mortgage Choice SCW for some advice on how to consolidate your debts and take that stress out of your life. Best of all, it's free of charge because you listen to this podcast. So let them know that SC Playbook sent you to save $129 on a free consult. Unbelievable. To do so, flick them a message on Instagram at patandgeorge_scw or call them on 02 9521 1611. Doesn't matter where in Australia you're based. Clem, I just spoke for ages. Let's get into hot topics and get away from me. This is largely based around the most traded in and out players on Teamless Tuesday. Since teams have dropped, I haven't updated the ones that I've sort of picked out of that list, so it'll alter a little bit, but you'll still get a good gauge of it. Terrell May, most traded in, we're all keen on him. For Tyler Mariner, 363k off his 86, he's the second most traded in. Just had a thought on him. I just don't do it. Wait another week. If he starts, does it again, we can look at him next week at there. Zach Labert, 465k. Shout out to the spy who's been filthy for 2 days because he reckons we all cost him Labert by saying we need to wait and see how he goes at the Cowboys. 103 points, Clem. He looked terrific for the Cows. It was against a pretty weak Dolphins outfit, let's be fair. Lots of people jumping onto him. Would you be willing to do it early or do you want to see him do it again?
Personally, I want to see him do it again, but I did watch that game with you actually, and what an absolute performance. The Dolphins' defence, like, clearly wasn't all there, but yeah, 103 points. And the happiest moment of my whole Sunday probably came when I found out that Spy had been talked out of him, so that, you know, he didn't have that 103
all of our Sundays
in his team. It was fantastic. But yeah, I definitely do like him, and I definitely want to give him another look this week, and if he performs again, then I'll definitely be trading him in 100%.
Yeah. Ads, what's your take on him, mate? Would you be he looks like, again, one of these guys where I was saying, if we end up having to drop a gun who's about to drop a bunch of cash to make money, Labert could be this guy who makes some quick cash, but he has to do it again. If he comes out and gets 30, that cash growth is stunted.
Yeah. Same as you guys. I think he looked really good, but it was against a poor Dolphins defense, so a lot of them look good. Mm. And as you said earlier, that score will drop out after round three or four. So, you know, if he comes out and gets another 100, he'll be a must almost.
He will.
But if he gets 30, then you'd be happy you didn't have him. So I think wait and see. But he looked good to the eye as a player.
And we see countless examples of this early in the season. Players have one good game, everyone jumps on, they stink it up. They get one half right price rise because of the ton in their rolling average, but it all comes back to the average of past seasons, not to say obviously Labert being a rookie, so not so much in his case. The difference with Labert is, you know, we rate him. He's a good footballer. Rate him all off his games last year. Rate him in his games for Papua New Guinea. He looks so good. So I don't mind people going for him. I will be waiting and reassessing until next week. Josh Kerr, another really popular one. 349k. He scored 76 points in 40 minutes. He had a try in that. He had a line break in that. The Dolphins have named a four forward bench. And they had the injury to Lemuelu on the weekend as well, which impacted minutes of the pack. Need to see the minutes for Josh Kerr, because he could easily come in and play 30 and just be an absolute plodder. Not a bad footballer, Kerr. Got a bit of attack in him. Got an offload in him at times. Need to see it again, though. Morgan Smith is seventh most traded in. 345k, workhorse, no frills, 58 points. Didn't have a tackle bust or an offload. He may not bust 65 points this year, but he'll probably get between 50 and 60 every game and make us some good cash there. Tom Flegler, Clem, 475k. For all the reasons I just mentioned with Josh Kerr, I do think he's probably a watch. Played some additional minutes on the weekend. Scored a try, had the line break. The thing with Flegler is, compared to a lot of these other front rowers, he's a very good footballer. We know he'll at least get his 45 to sort of, you know, maybe 50 minutes at the Dolphins. Is he someone you'd be going on early, or?
I wouldn't personally, but I can see why people were trading him in, because obviously front row is such a wasteland and like he's quite a good price point. But in saying that, my concern with him is he's quite fiery. And so what, like, if the Dolphins aren't performing, is he going to like get heaps of penalties? Is he going to get sin bins? Because I'm pretty
embrace the fire yeah. plan.
But also, yeah, I feel like I'd watch him again. He's definitely not someone that I'd be like, oh my God, I have to have him in my team.
Yeah.
He also has the bye next week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not sure. And do you really want to be starting one or the other?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Jokers, because they're Bulldogs players on most people's benches and they're great players. But
the answer is no, you don't.
No. So I think at the moment we're all desperate to find two starters. You don't want to have the bye next week.
So for sure, you can have another look at their minutes. Both Kerr and Flegler this weekend. I'll be at that game, actually. Matty, we're live on KO with Bloke in a Bar on Sunday. Live show, into the footy. How exciting.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. We start at 2:45 Sydney time. Goes about an hour. And then within 15 minutes, you got the Roosters Manly game, which turns out that's going to be an absolute ripper.
Yeah.
It's almost the game of the round, I reckon. So, yeah, very exciting.
If you are keen to tune in on KO, check that out. Go down and grab yourself a case of Bloke in a Bar for the show as well. Give yourself an extra treat for it. There's a store locator at the Bloke in a Bar website. Go and get yourself a case of beer. Where were we? Zach Lomax, number 10 most traded in. Holy dooly, Clem. 108 points. I'll get his stats up here. They're in here somewhere. He, to me, was the real talking point of round one. We were all keen to see how he went with that shift to the wing. Of course, the Dragons came and exploded, defied, I'd say, the critics. I think everyone was a critic of the Dragons, myself included, coming into the season. 630K, 39 in base, 24 runs, 10 tackle breaks, goal kicking. It's only one game sample size. That's about as good as it gets, though.
Oh my God, he was amazing. What an absolute revelation. Has he become almost a must-have? I am starting to think, how do I get him into my team? I definitely think, you know, if you're looking for someone in CT Dub, like, I reckon that he's like right up there with someone you should be considering. I actually have an apology here. Not to spy. So one of the guys I work with is a massive Dragons fan, like probably all-time Dragons fan, and he had Lomax in his team pretty much all season, and then somehow I managed to convince him to not start with Lomax. I think it was for Tyrrell May for May instead. So I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world. No, not Tyrrell May, for Taylor May. Oh, so that's even better. But yeah, I must apologise, Nathan. I'm so sorry for talking you out of it. I'm devastated for you.
I love that Nathan gets an apology for you talking him out of Lomax, but the Spy doesn't for you talking him out of Labour and everyone else. So, oh God, Zachy Lomax adds. Happy with my centre wing so far. All performed well, not an issue. But Zach Lomax, a huge watch going into next week.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been a Lomax fan in Supercoach. I've had him a few times over the years. He's obviously pretty expensive. I don't know if the Dragons going to do that every week. They were up against a pretty average opposition, as it turned out, last weekend. So I don't think you can expect him to do that every week. But yeah, he's definitely a watch. But I wouldn't be – I'd be prioritising bringing in Taylor May if you didn't have him. Yep. I think he's cheaper and he looks – I just thought the way he looked to the eye was just – super, and he was playing against Melbourne, so it comes down to who else you've got. I don't want to trade out either Roger or Taylor May. I'm very happy to have both of those guys, and they're cheaper.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, mate. And if you can do it again, you know what? It's not even Lomax doing it again; it's the Dragons doing it again. They were brilliant on the weekend, and I was really, really stoked to see it. I hope they back it up. I hope Lomax backs up, but it's one game. I hate to use the Doggies as a punching bag, but round two last year, when the Doggies went down to Melbourne and towered up the Storm, and there was a few good performances and people looking to buy and that, and we know where that ended up. So let's just make sure that doesn't happen to the Dragons. Sorry, Ad. It was just the one that came to mind.
I'd like to thank you for my final podcast. I'm not going to stand for that. That's ridiculous. Jacob Carras killed it that game, actually. So
Jacob Carras did.
But you know what it did show? All jokes aside, what it did show was last year I remember going down to Melbourne and thinking this is going to be bad because we've just been touched up by Manly. Melbourne have done their usual. They win round one every year. So you, and you're going down to Melbourne. So I just thought, how badly are we going to get beaten? The next minute we're up 26-0. So a week is a long time in football. I remember last year there was a lot of turnarounds in round two versus round one. So I don't know. Just let's not react too much to round one, whether it's a good performance from Lomax or a bad performance from someone else. But we'll wait and see.
One game sample size are terrible to go off, and yeah, they inevitably do backfire. Again, like I'm quite big on not trading round two just to see the two-game sample size and see if something backs up. But in the case of this one where I just need to fix my front row, it's like, yeah, I have to make it.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Bo Fermor, 467K, 34 points on the weekend. With Fermor, Clem, I'm an owner. The reality is that a big part of why we bought him was because he was running off Kieran Foran. The second he was withdrawn from that game in the final teams, you went, shit, this isn't going to hurt Fermor. You add on to that that the Titans were really poor. They cannot surely dish that out again this week. Oh, they won't actually because they're on the bye. But yeah, people are mass selling Fermor. I can see the logic in it, especially with the bye and if people want to see other players. But I do still think he's a solid hold, Bo Fermor, at the price, the attacking upside. I just want to see him. They sort of came out the Titans and said that with the bye in round two, Foran with one of his many, many niggles, they were happy not to give him that extra time off by missing round one. I think he's a solid hold.
Oh, yeah, I own him too. Mm. And I'm definitely holding. I actually didn't see that game. I was at a wedding. Mm. And I actually gulped when I opened the Supercoach app. I was like, oh, my God, what happened? And then you told me that Foran was out. So that made perfect sense. Unless you're desperate, I think, like, he's a hold. You got him, like, yeah, for all the reasons you just said. So I feel like watch him again one more time. For me, it's kind of good because I need a loop option for my vice captain this week. So he's going to turn into that. So he's going to actually be really handy for me this week.
Yeah, not bad.
Which I'm stoked with, yeah.
When Nico backs up, he's 26 with a 28.
Only problem is I look at my bench and I have so many poor scores.
I know.
I don't want to be looping and getting...
Yeah. Pawaso 7.
Well, not Pawaso, oh, but yeah, someone else. This is like bullying at this point. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring Pawaso in here and send this over to Pawaso because I'm betting you wouldn't when you see the size of him.
I hope there's a good lock on the door.
A Danny Levi 15.
I'll get Danny Levi here to protect me from Pawaso. I'll get Tommy Starling here to jam him if he comes near me. Speaking of that wedding, Clem, how's the flight back the next morning?
Oh, my God. Oh, it was fantastic. So
both of them?
I got home at like about 3:30 in the morning. I actually flew up to the Gold Coast for 24 hours for my friend's wedding. A Kiwi wedding, so the party goes on late into the night. I was not the last to leave, but got home about 3:30 to my mate's house in Burley. Woke up at 6 and I was like, oh my God, I booked my flight back for 7 o'clock. Oh, I need to get to the airport. I could not get an Uber to save my life. So got to the airport, did the full run through security, run through the airport. It's like an episode of The Hangover or something. Got to the gate and the gate had just shut like 5 minutes before. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So went and saw the lovely guy at the Jetstar counter, and a shout out to him, he knew a girl had to get back to Manly so she could watch footy and have beers with the boys, and got me on the very next flight, plus gave me the front seat with all the leg room.
Oh,
and as a 5'4" girl, right? Like, you know, all that leg room,
yeah, really needed. Amazing. It.
Isn't it funny how you get that treatment, but Tim wouldn't have got that. Tim would have been told.
I would have either been shoved on a flight the next day for next and not refunded, or shoved in the overhead compartment. That's all right.
Can't go home.
But the main thing was I made it for beers and footy with the boys.
Yeah. We did. It was a good result in the end. Getting through a couple more. We do have a few things to get through before moving on. So it's Caelan Ponga. Number 13 most traded out, 892K, off the back of 50 points, which he's a very popular captain. I was one of them. And then when Cleary came out, Nico came out, both went terribly. You're going to take that 50 points.
Yeah.
Can you believe people are selling?
No, I just can't believe it. It's just awesome. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if you've got Caelan Ponga, just keep him. It's not worth talking about. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't even want to entertain that. If he comes out off the back of the conversation before around dropping massive break-even players for cash, if he comes out, it's 30 next week, we'll talk. But until that happens...
Mate, he could come out and get 150 the week after. Like, he's just...
He had that unbelievable try assist that was pulled back, which could have gone either way as well. And then if that happens, no one's asking any questions. Drew Hutchinson, 354K. Look, I dodged that one. It's 34 points. as you said, Ads, it was a tough night, like, you know, for both sides. There's not much – oh, sorry, Parra were good, a bit harsh. But 34 points, give him a week. Like, the base was solid enough. Yeah. You're starting halfback. He's cheap. Give him a week.
Very good defender. We didn't have a lot of ball in great field position to give him a lot of opportunities.
Lots of touches.
I think his base is pretty good with the defence. Like, and he's a good defender. So, yeah, I think if you've got him there, again, I imagine most people have bigger problems in their team than
– yeah.
Drew. 34 points.
Parra were relentless. Had such high completion, strangled the Dogs out of the game. As you said, give them no attacking opportunity. So give Hutcho a week and reassess then.
And they had every... Okay, now I'm getting my moment. They did have every bounce of the ball go their way. I don't know if you're watching. I mean, it was absolute BS. And I'm not saying it was referee. I'm just saying it was just so unlucky. Yeah. Every Rubble bounce. Ricochet off six blokes and we'd knock it on. The ricochet off six blokes lands in their hands. So that can't keep happening to either us or them.
So... get the bounce this week. Dogs 13 plus. Calling it?
I'm not calling that, no. But I just happily take competitive performance. But yeah, I can't happen every week.
Yeah, yeah. Brayden Trindle, 439K. I've got down there next to him 34 points. It was definitely not 34 points because I owned him and he broke my heart. It was about 18 points. Tough game over in NZ. Low scorer. Three soft games coming up. When I say soft, the Raiders are actually the third one in that ad, so I'm not just picking on you, mate. Great win by the Raiders on the weekend, by the way, but Supercoach-wise, I'm happy to have players playing against them. I hope we can back it up, but time will tell. I'll be giving him another week, seeing how he goes against some soft opposition in the next three or so weeks. Don't mind the little move to him to Luke Brooks if Luke Brooks kills it this week, though. So one more chance for young, tricky Trindle. A few sit v starts for the show. Ads, I'll start with you, mate, with your side. Mm-hmm. Anything, what comes to mind with your sit v starts?
I haven't thought about it.
I'll start,
yeah,
mate.
You start and I'll have a look at my
team. So my CT dubs, Hammer, Tuivasa-Sheck, Taylor May, Ben Trbojevic picked themselves pretty well. I've got Arthurs on the bench. Coming up against that weak Bunny's edge, I actually don't mind the idea of potentially even playing him as a final bench spot because I think he could score well. Had a big work rate as well last weekend. Not playing Bostock, not playing Torpeaky, although he's a very playable option in your CT dubs each and every week. But Melbourne, down in Melbourne, who just kept the Panthers scoreless. Happy to wait off there, but I'll be keen to play him in following weeks. He had like 18 runs, a bunch of tackle busts, really good going. Playing... if Furmore stays in my team, I'll probably be playing Sean Lane, Furmore obviously on the bye, Sean Lane, Nathan Cleary, Kalen Ponga, and then it'll just depend on my who I trade in, but probably Jesse Arthurs. Clem, what are you looking at?
Let me just get mine up. We're all so prepared here for you.
I can do mine. My friend does
that. Yours first.
Well, mine has highlighted an issue with both Furmore. So I've got him, but obviously I can't have him on the bench. Yep. So at the moment I'd have to have Piakura, Cleary, Ponga, and I'm probably looking at Hutchison. He's the highest scoring of the rest of the guys that I've got left. So that's not being negative on Drew, but that's you probably don't want to be having to start him this week.
Yeah,
so,
not ideal. You're saying that, Sharkies, 6 o'clock game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not – there's like they say, there's worse options. Like,
He's not a centre or a winger who, if they don't score points, could get like 7 or like 13.
Yeah, otherwise I'm looking at Salmon's the other option.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to trade out Furmore because I brought him in last week knowing he had the bye, so it seems crazy to trade him out. But
I'm
the only thing is I might trade out Kotrich for Talau. So maybe then Talau's a starter.
Talau's a very viable play at CT Dub, I think. I'm also starting Lukey P. Kura-Smithies. I'll tell you about my front row forward in a second, Clem.
So I am starting Tommy T and Kalen Ponga. Then for my CT dub, I'm starting RTS and May. Tuapiki, I'm going to just give him a go against the Storm. Benny Trbojevic, I still have Drew Hutchinson in here, so that's one of my thoughts, whether or not to trade him out. Nick Kotrick's going to turn into Tommy Talau, so that's another play I could do down there. Dylan Brown, starting Nicho Hynes, Nathan Cleary, Lukey Lane and Piakora in my second row, and also Smithies out there on the bench, starting Cotter and May, and then starting Brandon Smith, who for once in my life did not let me down at the beginning of the season. I could not believe it. I was so happy.
With like 48 points. And it's like, I was like, you know what, I'll take it.
Our situationships evolved.
Oh, the Chiefs. He owed it to you. It had been a tough couple of years.
It's been 2 years.
You're very faithful.
Oh, I'm so faithful.
You're loyal.
Ads, we've touched on them a little bit, but what trades are you eyeing off at this stage for this week? Early days, teams have just dropped, a lot to dissect, but...
Yep. Palliser to May, that's already happened. Yep. And then if I toss up another one, it would be Cotridge to Talau.
Yep.
Which I might do just because, even though Talau's could be a week four option, there's just a few players we're talking about in that situation. So I'm a bit of a believer of get the cash generators early, and now that Cotridge is out of the side, he can't do that, whereas Talau can. So it feels like a bit of an obvious one to do.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Clem?
Mine are going to be Palacio to May, definitely, and then Cotric to Talau, 100%.
Nice.
Yep, locked in.
Oh, we're the same.
So my skippers tell the story of my trade. So I'm looking at the moment, because I've got Palacio, I'm going to VC Nicho Hynes. If Nicho can go like 100+, especially after last week's captaincy debacle, I'll loop, use Palacio and cop the, you know, the 15-20 I'll get on the bench there inevitably somewhere. I would really like to get sort of 110, 120 from Nicho to do the loop, in which case I'll probably just go Taumalolo straight to Terrell May in one hit and just have Terrell May as my one front row forward. Gives me another week to work out who I want in my second front row forward spot going forward, because having to use two front row forward trades, you know, by round two is just so heartbreaking. I'd hate to be using another one by round three or round four if I don't get that right. So I'm praying Nicho can go good as a VC. It'll sort my captains. It'll sort my front row for all of 1 week. If Nicho doesn't sort of go 100+ there and become loopable, it's going to have to be Taumalolo to Terrell May. Palacio to Terrell May. I'd play Taumalolo in my front row, and then I'd have to generate an extra 20K to do that. So it might force me into something like Furmore to Tommy Talau. Got to work out the second one for now. Maddie, have you had a look at yours yet, or been hard at it?
Yeah, my like who I'm going to play, like my reserve.
Trades.
Or trades, yeah. So I'm going to go Palacio to May, and I'm going to go Salmon to Talau.
Yeah, happy to cut ties with Salmon straight up?
Yeah, I am, and I needed to do that to get me in, so...
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. I mean, I could be doing similar minus the Salmon factor. Skipper's claim?
So I'm captaining Tommy T, 100%, and vice-captaining Nicho, and then doing the loop with Furmore if Nicho... when Nicho goes off on Friday night.
He doesn't let you down twice, Nicho. Surely.
Surely not.
Ads?
You know, I would say... well, I clearly have to... VC or C Hynes. Like it's much as I'd hope that he doesn't score well. He just generally scores well even against great opposition. So he's just such a consistent player. And obviously it's a good matchup for him this week. So to be honest, I like your idea actually, the Palacio option. So I might do the same because I don't really have a VC option. My concern is Furmore, if I start him, I'm still stuck with Lolo running around.
Yeah.
So then I'd be actually losing a decent player for my VC.
It's a nice little one, eh? So
yeah, that's a.
And at least
I'm glad I came on the podcast to hear
it. We know the Dogs will come out. Yeah, just like the good Palacio idea last week. If the Dogs do come out and toweling up, and Nicho goes poorly, you don't care. It's the slightest of silver linings.
We did defend well the other night. I assume you watched the game.
The Bulldogs
defended very well. One try for an intercept, one try for kick. Like it was,
and conceded a huge amount of possession against the Sharks in the trial.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any guarantee that Nicho goes big. So you probably want to VC him, not see him in that case. But yeah, so that gives me a way that I actually could use the VC.
Yeah. And C?
Well, I guess it has to be Turbo then because you can't do Cleary. But they're playing Penrith, aren't they? Who's Ben the plan? No, no, they're playing Roosters. Jeez, I know he's match-up proof, but they look pretty good, the Roosters. I'm not sure I want a captain...
It's not
against
ideal.
Against the Roosters, So, yeah. But I don't want to captain Hynes because I want him to go low. So I have to have some bias. Well, I can't. Like, I can't be watching it and thinking, oh, it's good for Supercatch. I won't even be remotely thinking that.
You're standing next to Gus Gordon, Nicho scores trying to give a little fist pump. No, you'd never do it. I know.
That shouldn't be happening, yeah.
Tommy Turbo for me, if Nico can't get the job done there. Matty, your skippers?
Yep, Turbo for me, and this is all bias. I hope Manly murder the Roosters, and I'll be riding Tommy Turbo.
100%. A few very quick questions. We do have to wrap it up tonight. From the Brewster, an OG of SC Playbook, I'll keep it simple. If only one this week, Lomax or Laybutt? Ads, I'll throw to you.
Laybutt, just for the price.
Yeah, I'm Laybutt at the price as well. One from Zach Adams. Clem, if you had to downgrade Cleary, Hines, Ponga or Drinky this week, one of them to free up cash. Gee, that's hard. Which one are you biting the bullet on?
This is the toughest question I've ever had to face.
The answer is none, but that's not the answer is none. That's not what Zach's asked.
All right, I'm just going to throw a dart at the dartboard there, landed on Drinky. There we go. Off you go. But please don't do that.
I'm saying Drinky because I don't own him of the others. Yeah, I've picked the other three for a reason. Could come from Miss Jane, another of the absolute OGs of SC Playbook. I see a lot of super coaches wanting to go hard on trades early to get the best team possible to maximise points. Is it the same strategy with head-to-head? Early on, the head-to-head and overall strategies become very different as the season goes on. But early on in the season, it's still very similar in that you still need to build a bit of squad value to be able to essentially get to your strongest 17 as quick as you can in the season. So very similar strategies on those trades early on in the season. You know, you're trying to save trades for the back end of the year in head-to-head and for finals time as opposed to overall where you're focusing more around the bye period. You can save some trades around the bye period in head-to-head, especially if your league settings are that you don't have fixtures on the major bye rounds. So, but yeah, early on, the first sort of 4 or 5 weeks, just get that cash generating, get the good players you've missed out on and go with it there. Ads, question from Reese Chu. With Cam Munster potentially out long-term, is Jonah Pezzett an option to make some cash? So Munster was ruled out. It wasn't even named in the squad. Pezzett is about mid-400K. I had a look at him today. His scores last year weren't terrific. He didn't average that well. He is a year older. He does look good. The Storm look good. He's dual 5'8 halfback. Not for me, despite a tough 5'8 position, but you know he has crept into relevance if we get word Munster's out for longer.
Yeah, not for me. I think same as you. We don't know about Munster. Obviously, as soon as he's back, like ready, he'll be back in. If Pezzett was 220, like, yeah sure. But at 450 awkward. Or whatever you just said, it's awkward. Like, I'd rather spend a bit more and get Luke Brooks if I had to. But
yeah.
Or Dearden. What was Dearden's about five?
Dearden's about five, somewhere between 560, 580. I think he's about 580, yeah.
Yeah, I just, no, not for me.
Yeah. One from Dino Hyde. Drop one of Bostock, Hutchinson, or Salmon, Clem?
I feel like I'm getting to the tough
questions. Yeah, you're getting the tough ones.
I think, yes, definitely get in May. I think that's excellent. I would honestly probably drop one of Hutcho or Salmon. I've got Hutcho and Bostock. Who would I drop? Maybe Bostock. I'd drop Bostock.
I mean, yeah. he took a try. Did he have a line break with his try?
Yeah. And
so
yeah,
he scored 38 try. With the try and a line break. Yeah. So he had 11 other than that. So
yeah.
And Hutch and Salmon are going to kill it.
Yep, I'm going to agree with you and say
thank you,
Bostock.
Clem.
I'd go Salmon.
Next week it will be you, me and Spy. We'll get rid of this anti-Bulldogs.
We'll see him there host. And then it's pick.
Who's
on
hosting? Matty, because he's got the best range. I'll be on the cameras. I'd drop Salmon of the three. I think Bostock, look, I don't really play in my team, but they'll be on bad, the Dolphins. I'm not saying they're necessarily in for a big year or a massively improved year, but Wayne Bennett's at the helm. They have depth. I think they'll be okay. They'll be much better than the weekend. I just think Bostock, CT Dub, if you can jag a few tries at some point, there's some cash to be made. Salmon, I can see him being on the bench at any point and playing limited minutes and potentially dropping. So we'll have to be patient with Bostock, but at least he's a regular starter and I feel more confident about him. Lucky last. Ad, you're at the pub. Steak or snitty?
Steak.
Clem?
I like both, but steak.
Yeah.
Oh, I am a steak and chips gal. Through and through.
Steak. Absolutely. Every day of the week.
Smothered in sauce. How Maddie? Good.
I'd rather get steak, but I'm tight ass, so I'll get I'll get snitty.
Very nice. Guys, we will wrap that up for the round two NRL Supercoach podcast, SC Playbook. Ads, thank you, mate. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you for that, but not thank you for your behaviour during this one. But no, thank you, mate. I'm looking forward to
Dogs 40 to 38. Nico Hines, 180 Supercoach points.
Okay, I'd be disappointed with the defence in that case, but I'd take the 2 points.
Clem, okay. A welcome return. Very big as always. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much. It's amazing to be back. How good.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.